Welcome to Kingdom Perspective Broadcast, the teaching ministry of Dr. David Ogaga. We believe that this message is going to open up the seals and cause you to have a deeper revelation into the Word of God that will make you see beyond the letters in the Word. Here is Dr. David.
With the mind, Holy Spirit, that you equip us tonight once again with your Word of life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. All right, so we continue with the Believer's Crown. And this is part number 4. Does it mean you're coming in for the first time, tuning in for the first time as well? Just simple definitions again, what crown stands for. I've been able to explain this a little bit kind of extensively. But looking at Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 6, the King James, Proverbs 17:6, it said, Children are the crown of old men. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Crown of old men, the glory of children are their fathers. So, I need you to see the connection between crown and glory. Amen? As I'm trying to explain this, when the crown comes upon you, what it really, you know, carries and what it speaks for. So here we'll find that the Bible said, children's children are the crown of old men, and then, and the glory of children are what? Their parents. And that is very important that you understand as well. For those who do not have value for elders, those who don't have value for parents, you've got to understand it, that parents are the glory of children. Amen. And you can see why Ephesians 6 will tell you, honor your father and your mother, and may be well with you. They may live long on the earth. But parents are the glory of children. If we dishonor your parents, you dishonor your glory. It's very important. Why you are the crown, they are your glory. And it's very important we get this. Hallelujah. And that is why you don't dishonor your children. Because you're dishonoring your children, you're also dishonoring your glory, I mean your crown. Because children's children are the crown of the old people. So you dishonor your children, you're dishonoring your own crown. It reflects on you. Amen? And then for the children, the parents are your glory. So you can't dishonor your parents and expect not to be dishonoring the old glory that you are supposed to be carrying on you. Let's look at this from the Message translation. It said, old people are distinguished by grandchildren. Children take pride in their parents. Amen? Children take pride in their parents. That's why parents are the glory of who? Of children. So you can't dishonor your parents. Those are your pride. And it's important you understand that. So this scripture tells us how it is important to relate on both ways. How children should handle their parents and how parents should handle their children. Are you following what I'm saying here? Because children should have a crown of the old ones and parents are the pride of the children. Okay. All right, so I'll just talk about crown there. Look at Proverbs 14, verse number 4. Proverbs 12, verse number 4. Thank you, Jesus. Proverbs 12, verse number 4. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh shame is as rottenness as a bone. The glory of a man, the honor of a man, is a virtuous woman. Not just a woman, a virtuous one. And you know, when you look at the book of Proverbs 31, you say, the man is known by the gate. The man is known by the gate. That's the virtuous woman husband. Is known by the gate. Known by the gate is when people are seated together, when elders of the city come together to make decisions, the man is easily distinguished because of who the woman is. There's a lot to say on that, but I don't want to bother about that. But if you understand again that the woman is a wife to Christ, so you have to understand your position, that you being the crown of Jesus, being your husband, she should be recognized, or Christ should be seen through you. We are men are gathered. Because a virtuous woman is a crown to the husband. And then, the one that maketh shame is rottenness of the bones. Amen. So you need to understand how that through you, Christ is meant to be seen, meant to be recognized, and this comes through your character, your attitude, your manners. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we move on again to the crown of joy and all of that. So I touched that a little bit last week. I want to continue from there. But I try to read the two scriptures so that I understand the use of the language of the word crown. So it's not talking of physical thing you put upon your head. If you understand, no man carries a woman on his head, but a virtuous woman is a crown of the husband. Is that okay? I'm reading this for you to understand the language and a simple definition of the word crown, how it applies. Okay, now, go with me to 1 Thessalonians again, 2 verse number 19. We touched on this last week. 1 Thessalonians 2 verse number 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? What is it? And not even yet in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his appearing. Verse 20, for ye our glory and joy. Praise the Lord. Your glory and what? And joy. What he's trying to say here, you are the seal of our apostleship. Like he would say in 1 Corinthians 9, verse number 2. Praise the Lord. In other words, if others, look at 1 Corinthians 9, verse number 2. Let me show you something there. 1 Corinthians 9, verse number 2. If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of my apostleship are ye in the Lord. If nobody recognizes my ministry, you in this house are my proof that I'm called into ministry. That's what Paul is saying here. Is that okay? If people will not recognize me, if people will not believe in me, you, Corinthian church, you are the proof of my apostleship. Because I established the church in Corinth. As an apostle, this is my evidence. So when he's saying to the Thessalonian church, you are my joy, you are my crown, you have to understand what he's saying. And just like we read before from the book of Proverbs, the virtuous woman is a crown of the husband. So the church founded by Apostle Paul is what he's now saying, you are my crown, am I rejoicing? Is anybody understanding this? Praise God. So he's trying to say your conversation or your conversion and steadfastness, your conviction I prove that God has sent me. We read that last week as well when John was speaking. My rejoicing, my joy, my hope, it's such a joyful thing to hear that my children are steady in the faith. So one of the things that give joy to the person pastoring you is you being steady in the faith, walking in the precepts and the concept of the scriptures, revealing the life of God. It gives the shepherd a good spirit. Amen. So he's trying to tell them in Thessalonians, your conversion as Christians, our ornaments, our crown, preserving and steadfast believers, you become our joy, as it were, in the day of judgment. By implication, you are the proof of our ministry. You see? Hallelujah. So like I was saying before, when people go do Olympics or people do all kind of games, they win prizes. Is that okay? Yes. They give them prizes. First prize, second prize, third prize, whatever the case may be. Yeah. All these things are done depending on the kind of game. So Paul is saying here, the victory that I have is evidenced by you being in the faith. And I'm saying that there is nothing that gives a pastor greater joy than the members of the church being steadfast in the faith and continuing in what is being taught. Nothing gives a pastor such a greater joy. Praise God. So you will find that there are kind of three levels of glory for winning a soul. And this applies to each and every one of us. Right here, I mentioned that the way his hope, his joy, his crown of rejoicing. Three levels. When you win a soul, there are three dimensions of ministration that comes to you, or that you receive, in quote. The hope here is the way the cause of his hope. The Thessalonian church, hope in who? In Christ, being the foundation of our hope. But our comfort in ministry, as we witness to people, among the things and the ground of the hope that we have, concerning the person's salvation. So you are now my hope, you are now my joy, and the crown of my rejoicing. Why? Because you are saved through my ministry. So when we're talking about crown, in this context, we're talking about people. We're talking about people that you want to the Lord. We're talking about people that have really become Christians. I'm not just talking about just going to church. Hallelujah. His hope, that is the matter of his hope, that they are saved. That all these people are ministering to, they are saved. You are my hope. Not just you, also is a proof of the Father. I am saved, so I'm impacting life unto you. You are saved in who? In Christ, being our foundation of all hope. So he said, you're my hope, my joy, my crown, my rejoicing. His joy, that is the occasion of his joy in their conversion by his ministry. By implication, I am happy today because I was able to establish the Thessalonican church. That's what Paul is trying to say. So what should be my joy? As far as KDC is concerned, men who have come to believe Christ, men who have come to be walking in the concept and the precept of that which God has established, men who've come to be able to stand strong in the faith, believing, knowing who they are as Christians. That's my joy. Hallelujah. Then he talks about the crown of his rejoicing in the presence of Christ. That is the fruit and success of his ministry. Among them, we add to his crown. And then becomes his glory. in the day of Christ. Understand what he's trying to say there, Apostle Paul. When he talks about he being the crown or the people being the crown, it is the same thing. Through my ministry, you are saved. Through my ministry, you stand in the faith. Through my ministry, when I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, I have something to present. Therefore, you are my crown. And the same thing, it applies to you. For those you can talk to, for those you can bring to faith, for those you can win to the Lord, for those you minister to, they become your crown at the end of the day. When you talk about being the presence of the Lord, that means people can have access to his presence. People who can truly be called believers. So when you make men, whether they be friends, whether they be relations, you turn them over to the Lord, they become your crown in his presence. Praise the Lord. Are we here? All right. Look at Hebrews 6, verse number 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. Labor of love here is not only in giving things to people, but turning men to Christ. Amen. And God said, he will not forget your labor of love. So, don't think that you winning soul is in vain. Don't think that you turning man to Christ is in vain. God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. And ministering to people, blessing them, yes, financial blessing, whatever thing. The key point there is love. But if you understand what love stands for, from the perspective of the Lord Jesus Christ and God himself, is God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Is that okay? What is the excess of that giving? To turn men unto who? Unto God. So the true love expression is turning men to God. Praise the Lord. So sinners who are converted are saved in answer to the prayers and through the instrumentality of Christians. And this will become jewels of precious prizes as crown with an everlasting joy for such people who turn them unto who? Unto God. So the crown of rejoicing are people that are converted to the faith. Are you getting that? Come on, are you here with me? Good. That's what it means. We're going to talk about the crown of rejoicing. Men that are turned to the faith. Through your ministry, through your person, through your nature, through your language, whatever means by which you turn men unto Christ, they become your crown of rejoicing. Crown of rejoicing. Get the point? So Paul is saying, you are my crown of rejoicing. What he's talking about? Corinthian church. Talking about Thessalonian church. You are my crown of rejoicing. Because by my ministry or to my ministry, you now become true Christians. God is happy. I am happy. Hallelujah. So get the point right. When you turn man to God, that is kind of joy that you have. God is happy. You are happy. So it's something that you don't leave to the pastors. No. Praise the Lord. Are we here? All right. Let's take another crown. This one is called the crown of glory. I told you a little bit before. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 4. The crown of glory. I touched this, I think, in the part 2. 1 Peter 5 verse number 4. Hallelujah. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not. Amen. Look at 1 Peter 5, verse number 3. Neither have been lords of our God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not. That is a reward of eternal glory, of intimacy with the Father of glory. You're receiving the reward of intimacy, closeness in His nature, in His life, becoming one fully with Him. How are you doing that? Because you are shepherding His people. You can imagine why Jesus made that statement. I and the Father one. Because the good shepherd, shepherding God's people. For who? For God. The intimacy is there. If you see me, you're seeing the Father. That's a crown of glory. Because He's the Father of glory. Did you understand that? He is the Father of glory. So when you have the crown of glory, we're talking of your intimacy with who? With God. So Jesus will say, you see me, you've seen the Father. And He will say, glorify me with the glory which I had with you before. And God will say, I've glorified thee already. Why would He make it those statements? Because of His ministry as a chief shepherd. Turning men back unto who? Unto God. So the building, He built intimacy or relationship with God. It's not just a question of because He's God in the flesh, but He demonstrated for us what it really means. The role of the shepherd to the sheep and then to God. It brings you to the place of intimacy, knowing His mind, knowing His will. He's a Father of glory, so if you have a crown of glory, that means you are partaking of His nature in a different dimension based on your ministry as a shepherd. Are you there with me? Praise the Lord. You see, some of you may not understand this so much, but the time is not there. Maybe next week I can touch it. But if you look at the book of Ezekiel 44, if you read the whole of that chapter, especially from Sibler translation, you're going to see that there are two types of shepherd or ministry mentioned there. You have the children of Zadok, you have the Levites. The children of Zadok, the Bible says, God said, when you come into the most holy place, don't come with woolen dress. Put on linen and minister before me, because woolen dress will make you sweat in the most holy place. It's about the rest of the Levites. They should minister on the altar court and keep on making the sacrifice for the people. Their own is to slaughter the animals. They don't get into the most holy place. So there's a ministry of the Zadok that goes to the most holy place, and there's a ministry that serves on the outer court. The man that goes to the most holy place understands the mind of God, knows the mind of God. God speaks to that individual in the most holy place. That is completely different from slaughtering the animal on the outer court. And God said, for the children of Zadok, come to me. But when you're coming, don't put in what? Woolen stuff. Put in linen. What linen? Righteousness. Unlike the Levite that will be slaughtering the animal in the outer court. So if you be a minister, you have a choice. And which realm to remain. If you're ministering to people, if you're a child of God, you have a choice. After all, the Bible said we are all priests and kings, isn't it? So there's a level of ministry that I'm describing that goes into the most holy place. Having fellowshipping with God. Having the mind of God. Partaking of the glory of God. You can imagine when Moses moved up to the mountain, when he came down, the glory on him was so much he had to veil in face. That's a crown of glory that he wore. Hallelujah. And you can receive that. Hallelujah. Based on your compartment in ministering to people and turning people onto who? Onto God. You can receive that. I'm doing a series on Facebook. Those of you who have time to follow. There's a place where you walk and you become one with God. You got to understand that. There's a place where you walk. Listen, life doesn't end here. That's what people don't know. When you drop the flesh, I've said it several times in this place, you drop the flesh, that's not the end of your life. Your spirit moves on. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 33. The Bible says God gives that seed another body to move on, to continue on. But when you do not have that kind of spirit, when you do not have that kind of seed within you, when you don't have the life of God, you receive another body, which is the body of condemnation. Doesn't have access in the spirit dimension. So when Jesus talks about those ascending and descending upon the Son of Man, you have to understand. People like Moses and Elijah, that's the kind of ascending and descending. Moving out into the spirit and back in from into the spirit. To the earth. You become a channel of communication, revealing God's mind. And that's only possible when you can move into the most holy place. Partaking of the mind of God. That's the crown of glory. Look with me, John chapter 2, verse number 11. Hallelujah. Scripture says, this beginning of miracle did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested for what? His glory. And the disciple believed on him. That was the honor of being the Son of God here on the earth. Is what he manifested here. His glory of being the Son of God. Hallelujah. That's a crown itself. Manifested for his glory, his own glory. Remember, he's become one with the Father. So when you talk about a crown of glory, you should know what I'm saying now. He revealed a crown of glory of being one with the Father. Hallelujah. Okay, go with me to Daniel chapter 12, verse number 3. This is one of the scriptures that I love so very much. Praise God. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Wise teachers, instructors, they that be wise, to be circumvent, to be wise, to be intelligent, to be an expert in what you do. Hallelujah. To be successful in the ability to communicate. That's what the Bible talks about. Act to teach. How you can be able to communicate the word of God to people in its simplicity for them to understand and become one with God. They that be wise. Ability to communicate the word of God. To teach. To guide intelligently. It's not just talking about pastors, but everybody. Amen. He who can communicate the word of God intelligently to people. They that be wise shall turn many. They that be wise, get it right, shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as a sign for river and river. Those who are wise in communicating the mind of God, what would they do? It shall shine as what? The brightness of the firmament. You know what that means? Look up in the night. What do you see? See the moon, see the stars. That's the firmament. So there's a kind of glory that you reveal. Why? Because you are wise in instructing people unto righteousness. Remember, I'm still dealing with the crown of glory. Hallelujah. So when we talk about brightness of the firmament, you cannot understand that. What's the firmament? The empty space up there. And we're talking about different stars with different glory up there. So you're shining. There's a revelation of who you are by reason of the crown that you're carrying on. What's leading to the crown? You're turning many unto righteousness with wisdom. They shall be wise. So they shall be as stars of bright luminaries in the gospel kingdom of Jesus Christ. There's a shining forth by reason of this crown of glory as you turn many unto what? Unto righteousness. God honors you for winning souls. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the living God. They that be wise, don't miss it. Don't miss it. It's so important. In the midst of this crookedness, in the midst of the darkness, God is looking for people who are intelligent enough to turn men unto who? Unto righteousness. And he honors you. So, what causes you to shine in the midst of the present darkness? It's your wittiness to instruct people on the word of God. The level of intelligence that God expects you to exhibit in the midst of this dark age that we are, to cause men to come to light. And God honors you with a level of glory, which is a kind of glory that's called the brightness and the firmament of the stars. This is why you have to understand. When you look up the stairs, what do you see? The sun and the moon is there. They are not of the same brightness. And there are several other, Jupiter, whatever. They are not of the same glory. So don't expect. It's based on what you can do. It's based on the level of wisdom that you exhibited. Your brightness in this kingdom age has to do with the level of wittiness that you have in instructing people to turn unto righteousness. Praise the Lord. I need to get that. Very important, very critical. Look at Revelation chapter 7, verse number 9. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 7, verse number 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto who? Unto the Lamb. Praise the Lord. When you look at this picture, you begin to see all of these people that are shouting are those who've received salvation. Now men are meant to bring them to this position. And now they are giving glory to God because of their salvation. Hallelujah. Salvation to our God, we seated upon the throne. In other words, we give him back the glory he's given to us. The multitude of people who are praising the Lord for this salvation matter are those that wise men have turned unto who? Unto God. So expect to win souls. Expect to turn men unto righteousness. Because there's a crown of glory that you carry for doing that. Look with me to the book of Matthew 13, verse 43. Hallelujah. Then shall You need to go back and read all of that. But just verse 43 is okay. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ear to hear, let him hear what we're declaring tonight. There is a shining forth in the kingdom of our Father. So it's like under this cloud of darkness that is presently associated with ungodliness and evil on the earth. By reason of your turning men into righteousness, there is a shining forth in the midst of this kingdom. Men will see that you carry a glory that no man can ordinarily put upon you. In other words, darkness cannot subdue you when you're carrying on with a crown of what? Of glory. There is a shining forth in the firmament of God's kingdom. There's a revelation of your being completely different from who you used to be. Why? Because you put on a crown of glory. In the midst of the darkness, God expects you to shine forth. No matter how thick darkness is, the stars will still shine. The moon will still shine. The glory of the moon different from the glory of the stars. No darkness can shade them. As a matter of fact, the thicker the darkness, the brighter they become. What leads you to that is when you turn men unto who? Unto God. Bringing them unto righteousness. Greater glory is revealed to you. In the midst of dark situation, God causes you to shine forth. It's easy to quote Isaiah 60. Arise, shine, for the glory of reading. Yes, it's easy to quote that. But how do you shine? What leads to your shining? What brings you to the place of shining in the firmament of this world, this kingdom of God, in the midst of the darkness? Is as you turn men unto what? Unto righteousness. That's why I keep saying, when you turn men away from God, indirectly you're turning away your glory. There is no way you're going to shine. What do you have to shine with? What will cause you to receive the glory for you to shine in the midst of thick darkness? Only as you turn men unto God. Only as you bring them closer to the Father. Only as you cause them to see greater light of who they are, who they are supposed to be. Praise God. Are you them? So here we are not talking about men that are pretentious in character. No. We're talking of people manifesting godly heritage that they've obtained from God. Remember, God is the Father of glory. So the crown of glory is your heritage in who? In God. Amen. The darkness of this world cannot obscure the glory that you carry. You know what? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. In Scripture, we're going to say, ye are the light of the world. You remember that? So, darkness in the world is not strong enough to subdue your brightness. Can I hear an amen to that? It's not possible. No matter what men try to do, no matter the situation that's prevailing, there is a place of shining that no matter the level of darkness can subdue. No darkness can obscure your glory, because the glory comes from the Father. Men can try, but they can't put you down. Hallelujah. So there's a shining forth as the sun comes from behind the cloud. Remember, when the sun is coming up in the morning, it's coming from behind the cloud. Is that okay? Yeah. The progressive movement. And see, Jesus will make a statement and say, as the sun rises from the east and sets to the west, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. How many of you have read that before? Very good. Book of Matthew. So, Think about it in the morning when you wake up. If the sun is coming, it comes gradually. Bit by bit. It's just coming up. Gets to the moon day, down to the west. So there's a progressive move of God's glory in the life of those who have come to trust Him and are following the instructions that God has asked them to carry on the face of the earth. And no man can stop it. You can't stop the sun from shining. No. No matter how dark and thick the cloud is, the sun will still break through at the appointed time. Hallelujah. Amen. And the good thing about it is, help me, Father. The good thing about the sun coming out from behind the cloud, it drives away the darkness. Hallelujah. It drives away the darkness. So your glory will then not driving away darkness. That is why you don't play with what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a crown of glory. It pushes back darkness. It paves the way. It's not about being afraid or being worried about what people do or trying to do to you. No. All you should be concerned about is, do I have the crown on me? Hallelujah. Do I have the crown on me? Can I shine in the midst of thick darkness? That should be your concern. Hallelujah. So though men obtain many to righteousness, shall shine forth, not merely as stars, but as sons in the kingdom of their Father. That's what Matthew said. They will shine forth as the sun. The sun glory is stronger than the stars. Hallelujah. You can't compare. Remember, it said those who turn many to righteousness, they shine as the sun in the firmament of heaven. The sun's glory is stronger than the stars. So, you better look at the intensity of what God is saying when it comes to that. Hallelujah. Look at that. Then shall the righteous shine for as the sun where? In the kingdom of their Father. There is a shining forth in the kingdom that have the same intensity as that of the sun. Very much uncomparable to that of ordinary stars that you see in the night. By reason of the glory of the sun, a lot of stars become diminished. So, God is trying to tell you there's a dimension of glory that I want you to carry. There's a dimension of life that I want you to live as you have your relationship with me. Because you're turning many unto what? Unto righteousness. That's why I have the crown of glory. Remember, everything is going together. If you look at the crown of rejoicing, which has to do with the people you're winning, it turns out to give to you what? The crown of glory. Why you rejoice in the people of God now exhort you because of what you've done. So you receive a crown of glory. After you receive your crown of rejoicing, you can't enter into the crown of glory without first moving from the crown of rejoicing. Is anybody getting that? Because the people you win to the Lord are your crown of rejoicing. It is in you having done that that God honors you with what? The crown of glory. Which is your shining forth as the sun in the firmament of heaven. The righteous here speaks of the same and the children of the kingdom. Those who will believe and obey the gospel. Shine forth as the sun. Being in as well as glorious in heaven. Let those who have ear to hear, let them hear what I'm saying tonight. That there's a place of shining because you have the crown of what? Rejoicing. There's a place of shining because you have the crown of rejoicing. So always check yourself. Do I really have the proof in terms of the crown of rejoicing? Do I have the crown of joy, the crown of rejoicing? Do I have them? Yeah, my crown of rejoicing, Paul says. And so what's the next thing that happened? Once you've assembled your crown of rejoicing, the next thing God caps you with what? The crown of glory. That enables you to shine forth in the midst of darkness, in the midst of very thick darkness. You're shining forth. Why? Because you're receiving the crown of glory. These are turning to righteousness. They shall shine forth in the firmament of the kingdom of God. One thing is simple. You can be hidden as a star or as a sun. There's no way you hide the sun. Can you hide the sun? It's not possible. You can't be hidden. When God honors you, nobody can take that honor from you. If God crowns you, no matter what they try to do, the crown can't be taken away from you. I wish I could get an amen to that. Praise God. Oh, I like this. So, friends, we're talking about getting to the place, even in this wicked and crooked nation, or time and season, that we can enjoy the beauty and the glory of the crown that God has placed on us. No man can take your right from you. No man can take your position from you. No man can take the glory God has for you. It's practically impossible. Unless you don't have faith, unless you don't know what you're doing, unless you don't know who you are, it can't be taken away from you. Practically impossible. You need to be conscious of that. That's why you should be conscious of your walk. Hallelujah. Let's try to end up by looking at the book of Revelation chapter 1 verse number 12. Revelation 1 verse number 12. Hallelujah. John writing says, and I turned to see the voice. Can you get it? Revelation 1 12. That spake with me, and behold, as I turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. Now go to verse 20. Is that a mystery of the seven stars, which I saw it in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks? The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks with our swords are what? The seven churches. If you look for that translation, you find that it's speaking about pastors that pastor in those seven churches. Hallelujah. Amen. Now you say the stars are in the hand of the Lamb himself. So if you become a star, I'm trying to bring something for you to understand. In the hands of the Lord himself, tell me who can pluck you out of his hand. Hallelujah. The stars which you saw are in the hand of the Lamb. He walks among the seven golden candlesticks, which has to do with, he walks among, or in the midst of the churches, as light, a light, which you can appoint, you know, at any point in time, and drive away darkness, and the pastors are supposed to be laboring to continue to give light to these churches, in terms of being the candlesticks, the stars, lightning the candlesticks, as it were. So your responsibility is to first have the crown of rejoicing. Then you have the crown of glory. Then you begin to shine as a star. And while you are in that position, you are in his hand. And once you get into his hand, I can assure you, now you understand what he said in John chapter 10, 27, 28. No man is able to pluck them out of my hand. Can I hear an amen? Never. Praise the living God. So, we're talking about people that have risen and come to the place where they are becoming stars in the hands of God by the fact that they are witty enough to instruct other people to turn them onto what? Unto righteousness. No matter the level of darkness on the face of the earth, I can assure you there's a place for shining, there's a place for glory, there's a place for the manifestation of your union with who? With God. For we have the Father of glory, and if he gives you a crown of glory, you're becoming one with him. Anytime, anywhere. And in the midst of this dark hour that we are, no power is able to close up your shining. You will shine. Hallelujah. God has ordained that you receive a crown of what? Of glory. To shine in the midst of darkness. So those who turn many to righteousness in the midst of the darkness, they shall be what? A shining forth. Praise the living God. Amen. Did you understand what I said tonight? I need you to get it. The emphasis tonight is actually the crown of glory. Standing from the crown of what? Righteousness. You can't attain to the crown of glory without a crown of what? Of righteousness. Because it is what you present that enables God. Say, those who turn many to righteousness as they receive in the crown of glory, for they shall shine in the firmament of God's kingdom like the sun. The intensity of your shining is not compared to ordinary stars. It's go beyond. The luminary in the sky, they are of different degrees of shining, of power. You can't compare the sun with any other sun. And God is comparing the glory he wants you to have to that of the sun. That means your shining can overshadow all other shinings in any situation, in any circumstance. God wants you to become prominent, and you are going to become prominent. Hallelujah. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Dr. David Ogaga. We know you have been blessed by this station. You can share this message with your friends and loved ones. For more information, inquiries, and free downloads, please visit www.davidogaga.org, or you can send us an email admin@gkai.net. God bless you.